Bring greetings to you this morning again in the name of Jesus Christ, the one we've come to worship. Trust we've already been blessed in being here in song and also in what has been shared with us from the Word. I believe that God has something special for every one of us. Not because I'm here, but because He is here. I trust that as we've gathered together that we may, like has been shared with us, look to God. We're not only looking to fill our head with more knowledge, but to understand better what God has for me and for each one of us in our lives. To want to say welcome to each of the Bible school students. There's many faces, I guess, I don't recognize this morning, yet trust that in a few weeks I won't be able to say that. Look forward to being together and trust that our time together may be that which would make us more Christ-like, more like God wants us to be. I'd like to turn this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We in 1 Timothy 4, we often think of young people in verse 12. I'm not necessarily thinking of verse 12, but not only for young people either. We want to look at verse 15 and 16. Here, Paul was preaching. He was sending Timothy a letter to encourage him in his work for God. Verse 15, he tells him to meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I have entitled my message this morning, Seeking the Greatest Prophet, taken from verse 15, where he's telling Timothy that he should give himself wholly so that his profiting may appear unto all. This is not exactly how it's given there. And yet I guess my burden is that we find the blessing, that we give ourselves to the blessing, to what God has called me to. Now, when we think of profiting, we think of growing or an increase. For example, a farmer plant seeds in the ground, and it's not unusual to plant a kernel of corn in the ground and have an ear of corn that has 600 plus kernels on it. And really the ultimate goal is that in the end he might have more than he put in. And I know that every businessman looks at his business, it needs to profit, it needs to gain something. And rightly it should. But there is a part of life that sometimes we fail to recognize, the need of profiting that is immeasurable, that is far more important than even the dollars and cents that we count. And that is our spiritual walk with God. I believe we're in a journey. It is also a position that we have with God. It begins with a position, but it's a journey. And I believe that through this journey, God wants us to grow, to increase. Often when the end of the week, we count up what we have made. We try to understand if we've made a profit. In 2 Peter, it says maybe I'll turn to this. But the thought is given that by the grace of God, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We serve a God that doesn't only add, but he multiplies. God's blessings to us are something that are way beyond any physical blessing that we can experience. Yet I believe there's many people today that are going through life with far less than what God intends for us to experience. He says, give thyself wholly. What I believe Paul is expressing here, and that is the need to identify self with this profiting. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. I'm sure we've all seen experiences where somebody's been struggling and seemingly maybe almost giving up in their spiritual life. They think it's hardly worth it. But then they come to grips with their experience. Their life is cleaned up. And the latter end is such that you can't even compare the difference. It is something that is immeasurable, and yet it is something that is very obvious. Sometimes we feel that our spiritual life is something that only I know where I'm at, and there's a sense which I cannot see your heart, and you cannot see mine. And yet it is also true that it is obvious a lot of times, whether you are growing, whether you are enjoying your walk with God, or if it's something that we're just doing. Sometimes it's very obvious if God only has our head or if he has our heart. And as we look at this profiting, it is something that, as was mentioned before, that goes deeper than the head knowledge. It is when we come to the place that we give our heart. It is something that comes from within. It is something that means more to us than anything else. It says, give heed to thyself and unto the doctrine, continuing in them. Make connection with our life and the discipline of our life with the teaching of God's word. Give thyself wholly, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. I believe the goal here is that we may attain, that we may grow, that we may continue in our journey to be what God has called us to be. And I'm not here this morning to teach spiritual perfection where there's never failures, there's never struggles in our Christian experience. But I do believe that a Christian experience is a journey that should continue to climb heavenward. I do not believe that God has intended for his people to be in the mire of defeat and to live in sin. God has called us to live in victory and to allow him to direct our life. Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our very being." And the question that comes to me, what does it mean to me to be a Christian? What does it mean in my own personal experience I claim I'm a Christian? What does it mean? And how valuable is it to me? Is it something that I'm willing to die for? Does being a Christian, having a relation with God, means something to me that is worth more than my life? Because I know that God has not only made provisions for me in this life, but God has made provisions for me throughout eternity. it is worth dying for. I mentioned it is a journey. It's a poem that, I won't read the poem this morning, that gives a thought that that it is the direction, or that we go where we go, not because of the wind that blows, but because of the set of the sails. And that is what I see, and this is my burden this morning, that we cannot control the circumstances, all the circumstances in life. We're living in a world that is sick. It is sick with sin. It is sick with corruption. And yet we also have a God that is holy, and a God that is all-powerful, a God that knows our every need, a God that knows our time, and a God that is able to meet my personal needs to give me victory in this sin-sick world that we're living in. And Paul in Philippians says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." What are the blessings that I am experiencing today in Christ Jesus? I believe there's present blessings that God has given to us. Grace and mercy are multiplied to us through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. When we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, we received forgiveness for our sins. We received cleansing. There is justification, regeneration. There is the infilling and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that's a blessing from heaven. There is the sonship. There is the adoption that we can, it's a blessing that we have from God for life, that we can be the children of God, that we are His children, His sons and daughters. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Sometimes in life we look at future blessings. We think of heaven and what heaven is like. And sometimes, you know, we even in discouraging times we think, well, why can't the Lord just come when we can go to heaven? These are things that are preserved for those that are faithful through life. It's the saved that will pass from time to eternity to be with Christ, or when Jesus comes to claim those to himself. It is there that there is a glorification of the body. There's there that we receive a new body, and there's no more temptations. There's no more sorrow. There's no more pain. The body will be perfect. The body will be complete in a way that we can't fully understand today. There's eternal bliss. There's no tears. There's joy. But we recognize that in this life, it is not that way. There are blessings that God has given to us in this life to overcome so that we can experience that life. We do not have those things today, but God has given to us those things that we need to keep us pure so that we can experience those blessings at the end of this life. And I'm not here this morning to present to you a prosperity gospel that if we just do what God wants us to do, we'll have no temptations, we'll make lots of money, and we'll have an easy life. I do not believe that. I believe sometimes God chooses to give trials, allow trials. Sometimes God chooses that we experience difficulties, and yet I believe that in whatever God allows to come into our life, that grace and mercy is multiplied so that we can be victorious and we can grow. We can experience the profit from it that God has intended for us. God has given grace sufficient so that rather than hating, we love. Rather than coveting, we have contentment. Rather than bitterness, there is forgiveness. Rather than dishonesty, there is honesty. rather than corrupt communication, there is edification. Verse in Ephesians chapter 4, 29 speaks of our communication, says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Our words that we speak are evidence of the work of God in our heart. Our words give evidence of what our thoughts are, what we meditate on, what we think about. And I realize that we're living in a time of probably of comfort and ease, that there's hardly been a generation before us that has experienced some of the blessings that we have today. And yet, I believe that in our spiritual life, we need to continue to think committedly. Often in life, we think of things that make us more comfortable, the things that make it easier. And yet, in our spiritual life, we need to consider what is the will of God. We need to die daily. We need to mortify the flesh and to think spiritually. I believe our spiritual thinking needs to be immersed in the Word of God. It's not just the fear of man, but it is the will of God that is our concern. And the Christian life is still a little like it was with the children of Israel. When God told Joshua to cross the river and to take the land that he had promised them, it was something that God had promised them. Yet he didn't just hand it over to them and said, here it is, it's all yours. It says that every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So in other words, they were to possess the land that God had promised to them a step at a time. Obedient to this, what God has called me to lead me to the next step. And that step leads me to the next step. Somebody said, I heard it on a sermon, that one of the greatest reasons for apostasy is that people hate to do the same thing for a long time. And when it comes to the Christian experience, I think sometimes we allow that attitude to become part of our life because it's something that has happened. Somehow we lose the newness of it. Somehow the work of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean to me what it should have meant, and we allow the flesh to be attracted to the world. Rather than recognizing that every day the grace of God is new to me as I give myself. Every day I need to take that next step and the next step and the next step. And unless I am willing to do that, that promise of eternal life, that promise of those blessings in eternity are not ours, but rather it's the damnation of hell. They told Joshua that every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. I remember it was probably 43 years ago this winter that I attended Bible school for a 6-week term, and I can say that it was a real blessing. In my Christian experience, there are still many things that I remember that I was taught in Bible school. But I believe it is as we are willing to walk in God's word, are willing to make application to the principles of God's word, it is then that walk will continue to be new. It is then that walk will continue to shed light and to give direction in our experience. It is then that we can make the connection with the doctrine and ourselves. When we think of the doctrine, the fact that the Spirit of God gives to us love, it isn't only that we don't kill, it isn't only that we don't go to war and so on, but I believe it affects all aspects of our life, our brotherhood relationship, how we relate to each other, how we conduct ourselves, whether we're with our church people or wherever we are. That doctrine is something that is real to us. It's part of our life. It's part of our heart. But we need to go after it. God will not force any one of us that are here to go further than we want to go. In the Christian experience, there are those areas that are man's work that God will not do. And there are those things that God does for us that we cannot do. And one of the things that God has called us to do is to give ourselves. It says, take heed to thyself. Give thyself wholly. This is something that God will not do for me, and he will not do it for you. It is what you and I need to make a choice to do. Give yourself wholly. What do you want to receive in Bible school this year? Or as parents or as grandparents that are here, what do you want to receive this week and the next week in your home and your children and so on? I believe it's in this that we give ourselves to seek what God has for us. God will not force it upon us. And in this pursuit, as I've mentioned before, there's many occasions of suffering. There's many occasions of joy. Some of these occasions of sufferings are because of our failures. Some are because of other people's failures. But God will give grace sufficient if we give ourselves wholly to him. In our walk, we need to love. We forgive. We seek. We need to be like Caleb in his pursuit of the promise that God had for him. That the spies went out to spy out the land. Caleb came back and he held the promise of God greater than the things that looked impossible to them, the giants that were in the land, the pursuit that God had asked him to do that didn't seem easy to him. The promise of God was greater than that. He seen the power of God. 40 years later, or later when he came back to when the children of Israel were entering into the land, and as they were able to conquer the land and subdue the enemies, Caleb went back to that mountain and said, give me that mountain. Can we today, when we think of our Christian life in the past, and we look back at our experiences that we've had and where we are today, are we at the place that Caleb was? That he seen the promises of God as something that was real today. It was still that was keeping him on that journey of life. We need that basic commitment in our Christian experience. But we will have as little as what we're satisfied with. God gives liberally. God multiplies. but we will have as little as what we're satisfied with. If I'm satisfied to live in defeat, if I know I have sin in my life, and yet I somehow, if I'm satisfied to live that way, God won't make you change. There's consequences. We recognize that God's truths are absolute, and we know that no sin will enter heaven. I believe we're living in a world when many of the absolutes are seemingly, they're not absolutes anymore. That it's a little like the world today in gambling. We take chances and we hope this works out for us, and yet it's often just a loss. But the Christian life isn't gambling. We're living in a time of absolutes, even though sometimes we're living in a world that is rejecting absolutes. There are absolutes. And the word of God is an absolute. We cannot sin and have sin in our life and live in sin and go to heaven. It just doesn't work. We can follow afar off, like Peter did. We want to be a Christian. We want to have the blessings of the stable home life. But we don't want to pay the price of really a commitment of all. And never know the blessedness of nearness. And never know that blessing of really a close relationship with God. Or we can be satisfied with a barren life and never know the satisfaction of fruitful living. And I believe there's many Christians that are satisfied with less than what God has intended for them. But my challenge to all of us this morning is that we may not be satisfied with less than God has intended for us. But that somehow we may experience those joys, that blessedness of a close walk with God. That we may experience through a knowledge of the Word, the special grace and mercy that is new to us by the grace of God. We can live a base, compromise, mediocre, lukewarm life. But I do not believe that that will be good enough to take us from here into eternity with heaven. The Bible says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst, those that want what God has for them, those that give themselves, those that make it a part of their life. I believe that God has placed before us an eternity of spiritual blessings, of spiritual treasures. Even some of the most difficult times in my life, things that I wouldn't want to go through again, you can look back at sometimes from this end and see the blessing in it. If the greatest tragedy in the world is the fall of mankind, when Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God, I believe that the second greatest tragedy would be neglecting the riches and the blessings that God has for us through Jesus Christ. I believe that Bible school, we have the Word with us. We have an abundance. We can give ourselves to a study. We don't have to go to Bible school, but I believe Bible school is a special time to give ourselves to study of the Word, to not only give our head knowledge, but to give our heart to walk, to receive the blessings that God has for us in a new and in a deeper way. I trust that this may be each of our experience through the next few weeks as we study His Word, as we give ourselves to knowing more about Him, give ourselves to prayer life, give ourselves to a living Lord, one that still speaks, one that loves us and wants each one of us as His own. May God bless you.